Welcome, everybody, to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Thursday, the 29th of March. I'm your host, Jared Petty. That's right, I've taken the driver's seat. I've hijacked the train. Good Lord. Alongside the handsomest, most beautiful man in all the gamers' verse, Mr. Greg Miller.
Hello, Jared. Thanks for having me on your show.
You are very pretty.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I noticed on the Kinda Funny Morning Show my hair did not look good because Nick was in the bathroom taking up too much time beforehand.
Okay.
So I ran in there, slicked it down the way I liked it, put some product in it, and yeah, now I'm looking pretty good.
Was Nick taking care of some pretty business?
You know or what Nick was taking was care of. Everybody knows what Nick's take care of.
Was he defecating?
Oh yeah, of course. That's what he does here. That's all he does.
All the time. Oh, that's terrifying. You know, I haven't done that here in this office yet.
Really?
I'm very frightened to do that.
I like to go in there, lock the door, run the water.
Yeah, you gave me that advice. You gotta run the water.
I'm a loud guy. I'm a loud man.
You got it. Well, really?
Yeah.
In general.
I always say, for as loud as I am vocally, I am that loud anally. That's what
does
I was
like.
Say.
Does like church bother you? Like, cause you have to be quiet.
The problem is, I think people are always like, "Oh, Greg's so loud and obnoxious." And these people don't like me, right? So everybody, they're always like, "Greg's so loud and obnoxious." I think is that I just have trouble hearing. Because it is that thing where I'll be whispering and Jen's like, "Shut up. You are not whispering. Like, you are not being quiet at all right now."
Have you had your hearing checked?
No.
Maybe you should do that.
I guess. But what are they going to say? It's bad, right? That's what it is.
Yeah, but what if they discover your hearing? There are things they can do sometimes.
Yeah.
You could actually have medical treatment.
I don't need a hearing aid. I can't smell either. That's another thing. So, like, I'm just all broken in the head.
Yeah,
obviously.
You can't smell anything?
No, I can smell some things.
Okay.
But it's a fake.
So
like, we just got a God of War axe that I bought, right?
Yeah.
And Nick was saying, "Hey, yeah, I don't know, it was up here before. It smells like cheap Halloween stuff." I'm like, I can't smell that.
When I first walked in, I didn't see the head of the axe. I only saw the shaft of the axe. Yeah. And it kind of looked like an enormous sausage. It was like coming down between the two of you. That's sort of what it looked like there. I was like, what's going on here?
So this is a special episode, Jared Petty.
What makes it so special?
You're hosting.
I am hosting, which means I probably had to get the show moving along.
No. I just wanted to set it up for the people who are tuning in or listening to the car and they don't understand what's going on.
Well, I mean, once again, garbage trucks on fire and all that. That is our mantra around here. But yeah, so what it boils down to is Andrea and I and Greg all thought each other were going to be different places at the same time.
It comes down to me being a bad manager.
Is that what it is?
I think so, okay. Yeah. Because what it was is that, you know, Kinda Funny is on its ways to Let's Play Spring Break down in San Diego.
Yeah.
We were supposed to leave right now for the airport. However, the flight's been delayed a bunch. So we were like, oh, we get to party.
Providence, air travel planning.
But during Kinda Funny Morning Show, I was like, wait, I haven't heard Andrea come in. So I texted him like, hey, are you here? And she's like, no. We had said earlier, and I confirmed with Jared that he's doing Thursday. And I was like, there's the problem. I never said explicitly to Andrea, Jared is doing Thursday along with you.
Yeah.
So when you and her talked and she and I confirmed that, you're on Thursday, she totally was like, oh, I don't need to come in on Thursday.
Andrea texted me and I thought I was covering for one day and she and I were going to be together the other day, but I had my days flipped.
I'm not used to working with so many hosts. You live and you learn. It'll be fine from here on out.
But
so I figured the best way to do it is you already assembled the show.
Yep.
You need to learn. You and Gary Wood are back at the
back
mound tomorrow. Yeah. And you're doing the morning show as well with Sean Finnegan, which is weird.
That's going to be fun.
This is your show today. I wanted you to do it. And that's why I'm not in the shirt and tie. I'm just the co-host. I get to come in and do whatever.
Yeah, I wondered about the shirt and tie.
I don't have to. If I'm not leading the show, I get to do it. Even this pen? Why'd I even bring it?
You're such a fresh-faced young man.
Thank you.
I don't have that. I'm not doing the shirt and tie. I like wearing a shirt and tie if I've got a coat over it. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do it without it. I got to have like that William Howard
It's way too hot for you to wear a coat.
It is very warm right now. So instead, I got that weird heat shirt on. Yep. I like that weird heat shirt.
Hit them up. Patreon.com/weirdheat.
You should hit those guys up. They're doing a good thing over there. You watching their stuff yet?
Yeah, a little bit of it. I like it.
Yeah.
Remember right now, Brian Altano / Mike Drucker are in the first ever vote off for the first ever Kinda Funny tournament.
They are right now. How's that going?
Well, today was the play-in game supposed to be between Mike Drucker and Brian Altano for the Kinda Funny Best Friend of the Show tournament. Find all about it at twitter.com/kindafunnyvids. And they decided they didn't want to fight each other, so they've teamed up.
Okay.
So we're already off to the races.
So now, it's a tag team.
Now, for the first time ever in this 32-team bracket, there's a tag team that is first up against Fran.
Uh-huh.
If you have no idea what I'm talking about, tomorrow's Game Over Greggy Show on youtube.com/kindafunny will make sense, or go to patreon.com/kindafunny right now. You can see it. But we're doing a 32-team tournament, or 33-team tournament. Us figuring out who our best friend is, the best friend of the show. No spouses, no co-hosts. So that's why you're not in it.
That's why I'm not in it.
So it's people like Xavier Woods, now Drucker / Altano, LaCroix. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, LaCroix is there.
The bracket
DiGiorno?
Is up. DiGiorno is in there. Very, very aggressive about
I am banking on DiGiorno.
All right.
I love me some pizza.
You can go get your bracket and do your Bracket Buster Challenge with your friends over on the subreddit r/kindafunny. But there's a whole bunch of stuff.
You know, Greg, you're doing some good stuff, but this is very important because this sounds a lot like housekeeping. But according to the agenda, we're not at housekeeping yet, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily, where each and every day we bring you the news from around the gamerverse, the gamosphere, the game cosmos, whatever it might be. And there's all kinds of ways you can join us in that. First off, you can support us on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, and you should, because everything we do here, well, we work pretty hard at it, and while we don't deserve your money, we sure appreciate it. We'll put
it
that way.
Agreed.
Yeah, and it helps keep the lights on, keeps the shows going. On top of that, kindoffunny.com/KFGD. You could be a part of the show right now. You can pop in there, drop in your mail, let us know what you think. Got a little form there. Just be like, hey, we want to, and we might read what you have to say on the show later this week. Also, watch live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames and go to youtube.com/kindoffunnygames to watch it later on, because we post those later on. That's right. I am not as smooth at this.
You're killing you it. I said you're good. I mouth. You're good to the camera. You're doing great. You're doing great.
Then we got that kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Go there and tell us everything we get wrong right now. So we're sitting here talking. Have we made a factual error? If we've done that, you need to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. And we're going to bring it up on this here powerful pad. But it needs to be a factual error. Please don't be just dropping in there for anything. All right?
That's editorializing. Come on.
No editorializing. You can do that. That's why we have let you send the letters and responses at kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Anyway, I think that covers all the bases, and we're ready to move on to the housekeeping. We'll find out. Oh, you're smiling at you. Look a proud daddy.
This is so much fun. Yeah, yeah, I like this. This you is like cool. The side of things? I just get to be here. Yeah,
do you want to interject?
Nobody interjects during the first part.
So ooh, fine. Is that Burt Bee's lip balm?
Nah, it's just chapstick.
Just chapstick.
I like chapstick.
You know, chapstick weirds me out.
Why is that?
Well, I want to eat it.
Oh, okay.
I always want to eat it. Yeah.
I get that, buddy.
You get it? You got that,
oh,
Kevin?
Yeah.
You in on that?
100%.
Kevin is sitting there with an axe in his lap.
In case you mess up.
Okay, that's amazing. That's kind of this is so very The Shining. I just absolutely love it. That was the only good part. Only good part
of The Shining.
No. The only good part of Ready Player One is is The Shining nod.
I can't wait to see you and Sean Finnegan go at it tomorrow about that.
Well, I mean, Sean Finnegan's so much prettier than I am. He's just going to win.
Please.
He's a really pretty man. He just is. So, housekeeping. Kind of Funny prom tickets are on sale now. Kindoffunny.com/tickets. You said something about a mall the other day.
Yeah, we're doing it in the mall
venue.
Here.
How's this working?
There's a bespoke venue at the top of the San Francisco Mall downtown, right next to the theater. It's going to be awesome.
Can you please explain to me? Okay, I've worked in marketing for a long time.
Sure.
That I worked in games press for a long time. I still don't know what the word bespoke means. I hear it in every meeting I ever go to. We have bespoke assets. We have bespoke venues. What does bespoke mean?
That's a great question. So kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. No, I don't know.
I was talking about bespoke this and bespoke that.
I don't think I've ever heard it outside of this venue, really.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah. Okay, really. Yeah, it's a term that I heard a lot when I worked in marketing.
Oh,
I was talking about bespoke things.
Huh. We'll get to the bottom of that for you.
Yeah.
Made to order.
Thank you. Made to order. That's what it means. I feel like Andy on Parks and Rec just being like, I don't know who Al Gore is, and at this point, I'm afraid to ask.
Too afraid to
ask.
Yeah,
exactly. That's Kind of Funny's first annual PAX East Chicken Wing Ding. A Chicken Wing Ding. That's right. PAX panel. That'll be Thursday, April the 5th, 7:30 p.m. at the Dragonfly Theater. Not the Spider Theater, not the Cockroach Theater. No, the Dragonfly Theater. I love me the Dragonfly. You love the Dragonfly?
Yeah, of course. They're beautiful.
Yeah, not that Kevin Costner movie.
Nobody like that.
But I do. You know, we're about, 8.5 minutes into the show now, so it's time to mention Japan. Incredible dragonflies in Japan. They got these ruby red ones and these sapphire blue ones, and they're like all that color. Like the whole dragonfly is that color. It's really weird.
I don't know if I've seen them.
Yeah,
no,
they're really beautiful.
Okay.
Yeah, they're really amazing. I never seen. I'm sure they're probably all over that part of the world, but that's where I saw them. So kind of bodacious. This episode is brought to you by MeUndies, and I'm going to tell you much more about that later. But right now, I think it's time to get on to what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. I've wanted to do that.
Nailed it.
That's really great. I love it. Thank you so much. So, it's kind of a slow news day, my friend.
How many items?
Two items.
A baker's dozen.
A baker's dozen. Nice, Cool Greg. Excellent. Baker's dozen indeed. First story on the Roper Report. Very excited about this one personally.
Okay.
From IGN. THQ Nordic has announced a puntastic remaster of Red Faction Guerrilla coming to PC, PS4, and Xbox One in the second quarter of 2018. Red Faction Guerrilla Remastered Edition. Oh, yes. I love that. Remastered Edition features native 4K support, improved lighting and shadow rendering, and fully reworked graphics. Xbox One X support will also be available at launch. Also this update, THQ Nordic has confirmed that Remastered contains all the original game's DLC. Steam owners of the original game will also be able to upgrade to the Remastered Edition for free. I'm very excited about this.
Did you like Guerrilla?
Yes, I love Guerrilla. Yeah. I think Guerrilla is delightful. Terrain deformation, my friend.
Big deal, man.
Gotta have that levolution. Yeah. Gotta be knocking that. Gotta have that.
Let's get some more buzzwords in
gotta
there.
Gotta have that transfaring.
There it
gotta,
is. Yeah, you need those things. Go ahead, right shove there. Them okay. all in. Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
I really do love the ability.
It definitely had an audience when I think Anthony Gaius reviewed it back at IGN when it came out and stuff. Yeah. And I remember him liking it. I don't know if he loved it, but it's hard to tell with Anthony because he's always so even keel about what he thought about anything.
Have you ever played it?
No.
Okay.
I was a Red Faction original fan. When that came to PlayStation 2, I remember in college getting it and shooting holes in the wall and be like, this is awesome. Yeah. Holy crap. But by the time this came around, it just didn't seem like my cup of tea.
You're on Mars.
Yeah.
You got a hammer and you knock buildings down on top of people.
Of course.
That's what the game is about. It's a lot of fun. Here's the secret to enjoying Red Faction Guerrilla. Put it on easy mode.
Okay.
And that's going to be appalling to people. I don't think they're going to tweak the difficulty curve in this. They haven't said anything about it. The game is frustrating at standard difficulty and okay. Switch it to easy. It's still plenty challenging in that mode. And then you can run around and wreck things with reckless abandon. And
okay.
It's much more fun.
Okay.
That's my take on it. So
that's a good one.
I'm really excited to see this coming back. I like remasters, as you know, when they're lovingly crafted and well done. I like the fact that if you have it on Steam, you're just going to be.
That's always nice.
I'm just going to be able to upgrade. That'll be great.
Sure.
I like that a lot. But I want to go back to this game. And I think a lot of people missed it.
What's your read on THQ Nordic?
Okay, so I got really, really excited that I get to see the THQ phrase around again.
Yeah.
THQ, in my mind, is always associated with middling Game Boy Advance games.
Yeah.
That's where my head goes first.
For me, they were always wrestling,
because
they've always been wrestling. And then also the mid-tier licensed game where you're like, why are you putting this stuff out? What are you doing in this like weird meandering where they didn't have a vision, they didn't have an identity?
I have like 50 different game documentaries I will never make.
Yeah.
One of them is called Kings of AA, and it's about THQ.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great one.
That's something I would love to make, and a documentary about being the world's most middle-of-the-road game studio.
Right.
Now, so right now, it's a branding thing, man. I think that...
That's why it's so weird that they did this, that they just took the name, changed it a little bit, and then keep buying old THQ property. And I know I've been on this show a lot as the host and the co-host now. And I'll tell you, I know I say it all the time and I bring it. I want to get somebody from THQ Nordic on here to come talk to me and explain what they're doing.
I have my thoughts on this. I do not have inside information on THQ Nordic. Obviously, when you buy a brand name, you're just buying a brand name after this much time. The THQ as an entity that we understood before is gone and has been gone for a long time.
Yeah.
And the flavor and character of that is mostly going to be carried through in nostalgia or brand identity. It's not actually a part of the organization as it exists today. But you walk into a pitch meeting inside a video game studio and you're like, you go to a bunch of people with money and you have the option of presenting them with an entirely new idea that nobody's ever tried or with a property that has some brand recognition and resonance. Which of the two are people who look at this purely as a way of investing their money to get a return more likely to jump on?
Okay. Yeah.
My guess is that's what this is largely about.
Okay. Okay.
And also, I suspect, outside of cynicism, that we in this industry as artists are fans, and there's probably a few people that have a lot of love and affection for that, and they might have just like, yeah, I got to check. I mean, you know, I'm never going to be rich, but if I am, I'm going to buy Atari.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Absolutely. And I understand
Can you get me a sequel to the Ghostbusters the video game?
I'll tell you what. If I am ever rich, there will be a sequel to the Ghostbusters video game. I will make it for you.
Thank you.
If they won't sell me the license to Ghostbusters, I will call it Spectre Hunters or something
there
like that.
That's
but
how you do
I'll
it.
Do
yeah.
my best.
Yeah. Okay.
But I'm hoping it's Ghostbusters.
Thank you.
What about that old Ghostbusters, like the Let's Go Ghostbusters Funimation show with the gorilla?
That. Yeah,
you know?
That's why we had to call ours the real Ghostbusters.
Exactly.
Like, get out of here.
Yeah, that's
you
a weird
clown
show.
People.
You know, real Ghostbusters is still real good.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Totally real watchable.
Yeah,
that Cthulhu episode.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Extreme Ghostbusters, not bad either. Like I always say, you know, it made me cry in high school.
Made you cry in high school? Mm-hmm. Which episode?
One, Eduardo and Slimer go into the containment unit and Slimer gets possessed and he turns on Eduardo and he bites the oxygen tank. The oxygen comes out. Eduardo dies. They drag him out and Slimer's crying over his dead body. And of course, they revive him, but it's like fucking.
Yeah, it's really.
Me.
That's
it
pretty real.
Me. Yeah, that's super real.
It's kind of, I like that a lot. So, yeah, let's buy Atari. What are you going to buy? You going to buy THQ? You going to buy. What are you going to buy to resurrect your property?
What video game studio would I buy? That's a great question right there. You're a publisher? Buying, am I buying a publisher or am I buying a studio?
You're buying the brand. You're buying the identity. You're buying the
Infamous.
Idea.
I go to Shuhei and I get Infamous away from them.
Okay.
And I'm like, we're going to go full bore. We're going to make this thing a thing.
Okay, you know? That's where you go.
Yeah.
Love that. Moving on. Number two on the Roper Report, No Man's Sky coming to Xbox One. This one from Ars Technica. Hello Games, massive procedural space exploration sim. There's a handful. No Man's Sky will come to the Xbox One later this year following its summer 2016 launch on the PC and PS4, the company announced this morning. The 505 Games published port, which will include 4K and HDR graphics support on the Xbox One X, will follow what Hello Games founder Sean Murray calls by far our biggest update so far to the game. Called No Man's Sky Next.
All caps, Next.
All caps, Next. Just in case you know, Next. Hello Games isn't detailing what specifically will be included in the upcoming free update due to the launch this summer, save for the few screenshots shown above, which you can't see.
I can't either.
Yep.
But I imagine they're sharp looking.
We're calling
in space.
This No Man's Sky Next because it's an important next step in a journey for No Man's Sky, for Hello Games, and for our devoted community, Murray said in a press release. The journey is far from over, and it's exciting to be working again on something you know will surprise people. Next will be the fourth major post-launch update to No Man's Sky, which largely failed to live up to galaxy-sized expectations. At its August 2016 launch. Those post-launch updates, though, have rounded out the game with important features like base building, improved in-game photography, joint exploration, and an expanded campaign story to help guide players through a near-limitless cosmos.
Okay.
Okay, what do you think? Where were you on the No Man's Sky train?
Kevin and I were together on the train in a very interesting spot where it starts, they do the first announcement of it, everybody at that E3 freaks out. And we're all watching it and watching the presentation. And Colin and I, who are the PlayStation guys, were just like, yeah, like, that sounds great, but these are the guys that made Joe Danger. Like, what are you, and not that that's bad, but they're a small team. It's a small game. Like, what are you, they're hearing you talk, and like, people are like, oh, yeah, but it's just like, I don't know if it's going to be that. And that went on for a while until I think it was the next E3 or the E3 after that. Kevin and I went, I think about two E3s after that. Kevin and I went to a behind closed doors up in a very nice Airbnb and got to play it with Sean Murray there and ask him questions. And when we sat down and played it, it was like, oh, this is the game. And this is fun and peaceful and simple. And Kevin kept asking questions of if he could build the Death Star and how this would work. And they're like, not at launch, not this. But so we left with our expectations not brought down, but set realistically.
Tempered.
Of what we were going to get.
Yeah.
And it's really painful that the rest of the video game industry / community didn't get that demo.
Because then
it was like Kevin and I being like, well, no, that's not really like when we're talking about people being way too stoked. And the numbers, it was when I'm like, whoa. And then when it came out and just got fucking slammed, right? Because it wasn't this limitless living world everybody wanted.
A dissonance between the marketing machine behind it and the actual player expectation and what the devs were actually showing.
And what the devs were saying and doing and all these different things. And so my time with No Man's Sky, I want to say I put somewhere between 10 and 20 hours into it, was lovely. I had a great time. But again, what it was for me was I put on podcasts or music and I was like, man, today I really want like this ship, or I really wanted the new a new upgrade slot on my backpack or whatever. And it was just like going around and fucking off on planets and sitting there and mining the giant like thing of gold or ore or whatever it was, getting it, going up, selling it, coming back. And it was like, this is a peaceful, fun, tranquil thing. It's not what people were expecting, and that's when all the turmoil was happening. Everybody was freaking out. But I did that 10 to 20 hours, I'll say. Put it down and left it on my cross-media bar for a long time. I'm like, I'm going to get back to that.
Right.
I'm going to come back. I hear it's an easy platinum. And it's just, I never did.
Mm-hmm.
And when they put out that, this is the fourth, they said, update, right? But I think the last one, one of those is the one that got a lot of press as being like, hey, this is an awesome one that's actually changing and doing. Like, I remember like, oh, that's cool. And I think I might have booted it, but it was very much that problem you have of jumping back into a game of like, wait, what the fuck was I doing? And where was it? Like, you know what? This isn't it.
I think with No Man's Sky, you'd almost have to start over.
Yeah, probably.
It's such a different game now anyway. It was a very similar experience for me.
Mm-hmm.
I likewise came in with very tempered expectations. I had what I had seen of the game beforehand led me to expect about what we got.
Yeah.
And because of that, I was very happy. I played a lot of No Man's Sky.
You platinum?
No, I don't platinum anything.
But sometimes platinums you just run into.
I have never gotten a platinum.
You don't play Telltale games, huh?
Well, I play them on PC.
Fake video game journalist.
I play them on PC.
Jared,
so that's why I don't think I've ever played a Telltale game.
How can you play any game on your PC when there's other great titles like Excel and TurboTax there to distract?
Well, I mean, they are distracting. You know, there used to be a 3D shooter type game in Excel.
Yeah?
Hidden? Oh, yeah. They hid like a little like Doom style maze in Excel.
That's fucking cool.
Yeah. If you entered the right things in the right cells, there was a hidden game inside. Yeah. So they took it out a long time ago. But
Okay. So I hear you. Then, yeah, you liked it. Did you ever go back for the updates?
I liked it. I did not go back. Yeah. But this is tempting me again.
What's interesting about this, right, is that when the big update dropped, we had a conversation kind of funny of just like, does this matter? Will it win people back? And it did. Like, you know, I saw the subreddit of people like, hey, I jump back into my sky. It's actually really good. Blah, blah, blah. But the damage is done. It's a punchline. What's interesting about this announcement is the Xbox One X version or Xbox One period version. Because now you do have a chance to rewrite history of to launch this game.
Let's see what Tim's got to say about that.
Tim Geddes?
I think, nope, not Tim Geddes. Another Tim.
Okay.
Tim writes, with the announcement that No Man's Sky is headed for Xbox One, as well as receiving its biggest update yet this summer, can we finally retire the notion that the well is poison with this game? Why does a game like Destiny get seemingly more of a pass than No Man's Sky when it appears Bungie has stumbled with two games? Meanwhile, Hello Games remains a punchline to a joke. Oh, look at that. Mm-hmm. Even as they continue to build upon a game for a committed community.
Great question.
Thank you for all you do. I'm a huge fan of Kinda Funny Games Daily. Even if Greg's pregnant pauses make me think someone is breaking into my house.
We got somebody so good. We got so many of you so good the last time with that pregnant pause, me and Bloodworth. Oh, yeah. It was awesome. Yeah, this is the question. Is I think to the Xbox audience, it's gonna be there's gonna be so many people who are like because this is did you ever meet Eric Brudvig? Did you ever work?
No, yeah. Never.
He worked at IGN. Then he went to a place called EDAR that does like you know mock reviews and all this research about how people think of games. And he gave a fascinating GDC presentation years ago about the fact that it doesn't matter what your game reviews at as long as your game gets reviewed. It can be a terrible review, but people that knocks up the interest in your game so much that it is years later somebody sees that on at the shelf at the time, now on a digital shelf, and is like, all right, I remember some people like that, or I heard something about it, and they take a shot. I think a lot of people on Xbox are going to jump in not knowing all these updates and be like, this game is great. What were people talking about? Yeah. They're insane. You know what I mean? Like, even if they have heard things of like, well, I'll give it a shot myself. Was there a price point on this?
There's no price point on this that I've seen.
I forget what they sold it at. It doesn't matter. But they're going to jump in, take the shot because they've heard stuff and be like, hey, you know what? This was really fun. And it's what we're talking about, too. And the fact that, cool, the next update sounds big and everything is different. I'm not going to probably be ready because I'm in this weird spot of I feel like I put a lot of hours into that game and I don't feel like starting over. But in the same breath, I don't feel like I can jump in and have a handle on it. That's a horn on our end, not yours.
I love how you inform people of that.
Well, we've been podcasting here a long time and I heard the complaints and pain points from people listening.
Okay,
I want to make sure they know.
That's one of them, just outside the window. Very, very considerate of you.
Best friends.
I think this is the best thing that could happen to a game that had a very rocky launch and maybe might get a second lease on life out of this.
Yeah.
I do think that even what was there before, I was not as disappointed as most people. I played the game before the day one patch when there was more freedom to move.
Yeah.
They patched in a lot of gates. With
really?
That day one
I don't
patch.
Remember
it made
that.
It
yeah,
harder
yeah.
to move around.
Okay.
And
like in terms of your ship, like you need more fuel?
Yeah,
or?
Yeah. They added like gates in the space stations that hadn't been there before. This has all been a long time.
Sure, sure.
What I remember was it was harder to find what you were looking for. It was harder to get to things in the stations you wanted to get to. They were just adding more game, more. But to me, after I just wanted to fly around and see beautiful things and mine tranquilly on planets,
scan new,
it made that a little harder than it had been. But again, that was not. My guess is that was not their original intention for the game because I was playing a pre-release version.
Sure.
What they wanted was probably what they released. That said, I think that everything I've heard about this since and the fact that they're continuing to support it, that was a beautiful, interesting, unique game. And if I can fly off a planet now and not be destroyed if I encounter three fighters at once, I'm probably back in.
Okay.
If that's still there, then I'm going to throw my controller in rage, and that's that. Because that was one of the worst things about that game.
Yeah.
You ran into three enemy ships.
Oh, yeah.
It was just all over. Yeah.
Especially when you're just, I'm just trying to get this stuff up to deposit it, to buy the bigger ship, to do whatever I want to do, and I got to fucking deal with these clowns.
And it's just like, oh, this is great. Greg, if I wanted some idea, just the barest idea of what was coming, what I could play this week.
Yeah.
Today.
Oh, today even.
Dare say.
Okay.
Where would I look?
You'd go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
That's not how it goes. I'm doing Green Acres.
You want to sing Green Acres around here? My dad is happy somewhere, even though he does not know how to listen to a podcast.
Green Acres is the place to be. Farm living is the life for me. Land
stretching out so far and wide.
Keep Manhattan, just give me that countryside. And then you got the.
We are old. Do you remember when Nick at Night ran old shows? Oh, that Mr. Ed. My Mr. Three
Ed
Sons
was terrible. My Three Sons. You'd have some. Now Ozzy and Harriet was the Disney Channel. I liked Get Smart. I used to watch Get Smart on Nick at Night. That was fun. One. That I was Get Smart. One. Man, when I was a teenager, I had such a crush on Barbara Feldon.
Oh, understand.
Get Smart. Yeah, amazing. But Don, just that was a funny show. Anyway, move on. I almost said Don Knotts.
Don Knotts is he's sexy too.
Don Knotts is awesome. Oh, I like some Don Knotts. Out today, my friend, we have Atari Flashback Classics Volume 3 for the PlayStation 4. A little commentary on that one. There's some neat stuff in the Atari Flashback Classics collections. There's a few interesting games on this one. I always want to support going out and buying compilations of retro games to throw up it together. This one's a little thinner. You've got a lot of games in there, but unfortunately, it's a lot of filler games. Astro Blast is there, which is a really good game. Millipede's there, which is a really good game. There's a version of Fire Truck on this one. Have you ever seen Fire Truck?
I don't think so.
Fire Truck is an arcade game. It's at California Extreme every year, which is a video arcade game convention near here. Fire Truck, one guy, it's a big old cabinet. One guy sits in the front at a steering wheel.
Really?
And another person stands behind them.
Oh, wow.
The back of their seat is another arcade panel, and there's another steering wheel. And two friends, one steers the front of the truck, and one steers the back of the fire truck. You have that guy steering. It's great.
That's awesome.
It's
That's
fun
really
to this
cool.
day. Yeah, it's a really cool game. But I can't quite see that working on our own console.
You can correct me if I'm wrong, because you are definitely one of the retro guys in my wheelhouse, right? Where I'd be like, hey, you need a retro expert? Jared Petty. I feel like there was, and I'm not trying to insult anybody, there was a level of TLC put into collections in that PS2 beginning PS3 360 place that you don't see anymore. Because I remember reviewing it on IGN, one of these Atari ones, where it was like the hub screen had the wood paneling, and like you could unlock, when you beat certain things in the game, you unlocked like the commercials, and I'm watching Phil Hartman do the ice hockey commercial and all. And it was just like, this is awesome. And even like when Capcom put out a Final Fight teamed up with the Magic one.
But you have Magic Sword.
Right, where you had the different cabinets, and it was like, wow, this is really rad.
Remember Microsoft Game Room? Did you ever fool with that?
I don't think so.
Oh, that was a great service. It died a quick death, and I hate it, but they actually let you would take your Microsoft avatars, and you built arcades, virtual arcades, and filled them with different machines and different paraphernalia, and it was a really cool metaphor for the games. They had a great collection of games, but unfortunately, it fell on its face.
Am I wrong, though? Are we not getting the same TLC these days?
We are still getting that same TLC in some places and not others. It's always been inconsistent. There's always been crappy collections, and then there's people that pour more effort into it. You were talking about PS2. So like if you look at Sega Ages, their early stuff was terrible. Then around the time the Treasure Box came out, which was Alien Soldier, Dynamite Heady, and Gunstar Heroes for PS2, that was when M2 took over the emulation on them. Okay. And suddenly those packs became incredible.
Okay.
And there's a bunch of those like that. Today, there are still people doing stuff. For example, the first Mega Man Legacy Collection, the one that came out recently, Digital Clips did, that is TLC to the core.
Yeah, that's true.
A beautiful
that's
true. Museum, the thought that you can jump into boss fights from menus, there's all the challenges. So people, Disney Afternoon.
That's a good point,
But that's the same people. So there are still folks putting TLC into them, but there is always somebody just kind of looking for a cheap cash in too.
Just pooping them out.
Yeah, and so you get a little of both. I own an Atari Flashback HDMI dedicated thing, and it is better put together than it could be in some ways. There's some jankiness around it. It's not perfect.
Okay.
It's kind of, but it's not a bad way to go at it. The Gold 8 that has the HDMI out isn't too bad.
Okay.
That's why. But yeah, I think you're fair, man. So I'll talk about that at the end of time. Clusterpuck 99 for the Switch. Dodge Club Pocket for 3DS.
Of course.
Gotcha Rating second for the Switch. Johnny Turbo's Arcade.
Bad Dudes
for the Switch. Preda, Vendetta Rising for PSVR, Reverie for PS Vita.
Quick time out on this one, just to shout out. These guys, this is a disclosure statement more than anything, reached out to me a long time ago when I was bitching on this show, or maybe PS I Love You, about trophies, and let me take a gander at their trophy list. And they sent me a demo of the game. I looked at videos and stuff and gave a little bit of input. But basically, it was like, you got a good trophy list. Maybe they screwed it up since then. I don't know. But there's also a Kind of Funny logo in the arcade and stuff like that.
So,
real nice folks. I hope the game is good. I don't know.
That's very
They sent me a code. We'll see.
You gonna play it?
Yeah.
All right, there we go. Tengai. Tengai for Switch. The Adventures of Birdum Fiddle Episode 1 for the Switch. The Charming Empire for the Switch. Waku Waku Sweets. Happy Sweet Making.
Yeah, of course.
For 3DS. And Zombilly.
Zombilly.
Zombilly for the Switch. The other day, we did get that review of Enchanting Mahjong Match, which you can watch on Kind of Funny Gamescast this Monday, or right now if you're a patron.
Yeah.
Depends on that.
It's a week from a week from tomorrow.
That's right. That's going out next week.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. It's in there. You did your work. You did your homework. That's where I talk about Undertale as well.
That's right. That's the one we talk about. But yeah, if you watch Gamescast, you will eventually get to that review of Enchanting Mahjong Match.
What was the other game you mentioned that you liked on Switch that's on everything? Mulaka?
Yeah, Mulaka.
What is Mulaka again?
Mulaka is a third-person action-adventure game that's based on Native American myth from Mexico.
Okay.
And it's really colorful, and there's this really interesting art, and a lot of fun things happen. And I like it for that, because it's got a good theme. It's got solid art. The team behind it's really passionate. They're really neat people. And then on top of that, it kind of feels like that lost PS2...
Right,
adventure
that
genre,
like
the kind of structured funneled levels that, and I discovered I missed that and didn't know it, and it, so I've really enjoyed Mulaka.
Cool, thank you.
I think it's neat, and it's not just on Switch, but that's where I'm playing it.
Yeah,
it's available on other platforms as well. New dates. IGN lets us know that Overwatch's upcoming seasonal event will return Tuesday, April 10th. Blizzard shared the news via a post on Twitter. There is a teaser. You can go out there and look at it. The Uprising event rewinds time to give players the opportunity to relive a key moment in Overwatch's past and dive into some of the stories behind the game's diverse group of heroes. There will be over 100 declassified loot box items featuring pieces of the past to unlock, and players will be able to join Tracer in her first mission in the Uprising co-op brawl.
Awesome.
So there we go. I guess I got a new date.
Did you ever play Overwatch? Did that ever click for you?
Overwatch is fun. It is unquestionably a masterpiece, it's not really my thing.
Sure, understandable. I agree the same way. Where I look at it, I understand it. I understand why kids like it. It's just not for me.
Yeah, I don't quite know why. I've never been pulled into it. I should be. I enjoy team shooters. I don't know.
You're too busy playing that Friday the 13th. That's your
problem. I think that it may have had the misfortune to come out at a time when I wasn't wrapped up in other games.
Sure.
But yeah, it's Overwatch does it right, man. They just do. They're fantastic. Reader mail. Our reader mail, ladies and gentlemen, is brought to you by MeUndies. You want to look good in your underwear and be comfortable? Well, don't sacrifice style or comfort. Check out MeUndies. They're the perfect balance of a comfortable fit every month. They have new and exciting prints, and they arrive at your door in a fun bag. As the poet said, ladies and gentlemen, underwear everywhere, but mostly underneath. Usually, you can't see what goes underneath, but you can feel it. And when you're in the comfort of your own home, looking in the mirror, you can see it. And when you're sharing it with your squeezy, they get a look too. So you want underwear that looks good and feels good. And that's why MeUndies is around. Why are they the best undies?
Do you use MeUndies? Have you had experience with MeUndies?
So here I am. I'm saying all this.
Well, you're doing the ad, yeah.
I'm doing the ad.
Have you ever used MeUndies?
No, I haven't used MeUndies yet. I've worked here long enough.
You know that I use it every time.
Yeah.
Every day I'm wearing them. So you're going to get to feel them right now.
I'm going
to
feel them?
You're going to go on right there.
All right.
Because I don't want to go to sexual harassment thing.
No, that's fine.
No, I'm going to show them. Don't worry.
All right.
I'm wearing just the oranges. Feel how soft that is.
Oh, that is soft.
Right? There you
Slightly
go.
Slightly sweaty, but soft.
Well, it's very hot today.
It is. Yeah.
The corduroy pants aren't breathing.
Give it a little sniff here. There we go. All right.
All right. Anyway, sorry. Now tomorrow, when you're with Witta, you can say, I felt them.
I did feel
and
them.
And I know how soft
they're kind of it. But yeah, and I need to get me some MeUndies. Here I am talking about these MeUndies. They
Maybe there's
great.
A deal coming up for listeners like you, Jared.
Let's find out. Let's find out about that. They are 100% satisfaction guaranteed, so there's no risk for me. MeUndies guarantees that I'll love the undies or I'll get my money back. So I really need to try that up. And they do have an exclusive offer for our listeners, for any first-time purchasers like me. When you purchase any MeUndies, you get 20% off and free shipping. I'm going to get 20% off and free shipping when I order my MeUndies. They're so sure we'll love the underwear, a 100% satisfaction guarantee. If you don't love your pair, you'll get a full refund. This is a no-brainer. It says so here on the sheet of paper. Greg Miller's wearing them right now. I like the orange, by the way.
Thank you.
Get 20% off a pair of the most comfortable undies you will ever put on. I like their confidence.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm excited about that.
I mean, they can't go wrong.
So, to get your 20% off your first pair, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee, you go to MeUndies.com/GamesDaily. That's MeUndies.com/GamesDaily.
You crushed it. You good job.
Oh, that's very kind.
You're killing the show, by the way. You're doing a great job. Well, I could listen to you, Jared Petty, read the phone book. That's how much I like you.
Why?
Everybody go subscribe to his podcast and listen to his stuff. Pockets Full of Soup.
Pockets Full of Soup, Hop Lip and a Jump.
We don't do a good job promoting that. We should say that more.
Very kind. What, Hop Lip Jump?
Yeah.
Well, thank you. You promote it all the time. I literally owe my career to you. What are you talking about? But yeah, it is hoplipandajump.com and it's a little documentary/diary series about the games we love and how they're all connected. I think it's really good.
I agree. I think it's really
and,
good.
And I make my living off it. So I recommend. You think it's really good too?
Yeah.
Makes me happy. I think it's serving a space that's not very well served. I think there's a lot to love about games, and I found a way to talk about them that doesn't get done as often as I'd like, and I think I'm doing it pretty well. So go to hoplipjump.com if you want to support that. That's hoplipjump.com because that's where I live and die by on that Patreon. And right now, I am building, and I feel good about what I'm doing. I feel the work's good. I hope you agree. Let me know what you think. Watch the video and drop in the comments. Tweet me and let me know. Because I do like to listen. I'm always looking to improve. There's some other exciting plans about that coming soon, but first things first.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll share that eventually. Okay. I'm going to talk to you about that soon, actually. But yeah. All right. So it's time to go to that reader mail, which once again was sponsored by MeUndies. Got a question here from Toasty Baguette.
Now, Toasty Baguette.
I'm on keto. But I do love a good toasty baguette.
Come on now, yeah. Who doesn't?
Who doesn't love some rich, delicious bread?
Yeah, bread's great.
You ever just eat bread?
Oh, of course.
Yeah? I wonder about that. One of the first times I ever just had a conversation with you, you told me, Jared, I love you because you're just sitting at your desk eating a giant sandwich. Yeah. I believe those were the exact words.
I believe it was that we were at IGN and you walked in with basically like one of those Super Bowl subs.
Yeah.
And you started eating it at like 8:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
And you're like, this is breakfast. And then the other half was lunch. And I was like, I fucking love that. That's awesome.
You want to know the real truth?
Sure.
So that was the plan, but I ate it all for breakfast.
Happens to me all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the worst. So Toasty Baguette says, greetings, Jared and Andrea. Well, you know what? Didn't work out that way, but sure.
Andrea Renee. Busiest lady in business.
I keep calling Andrea Andrea.
I know. I wasn't going to call you out on it on the air, but I was going to definitely hit you with the axe after it.
I'm doing the soft A.
Yeah. It's tough. Names are hard. I screw them up all the time. I feel real bad about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know that Andrea and I, Andrea, that we're doing See, that, have doing actually it? Only talked face-to-face once ever?
Really?
Isn't that weird?
That is weird.
Yeah.
That's why I like this show. I get to bring people together.
It's very exciting.
Kind of funny, I guess, in general.
I like her. Actually, I'm going to be on What's Good soon.
Oh, so, nice. Awesome.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that.
Red.
I think that's Red. They invited
get her
me over.
Fucking name right before then or you're going to be in trouble.
Call her Andrea.
Yeah. Andrea.
I always go for those soft ahs. Well, anyway. Yeah,
think of it this way. Her closest friends will call her Andy. So that already gets it going. And I could do it. Like, we're on that level, but I have an Andy. So it's confusing.
Oh, that would be confusing. I love nicknames. I always wished I could have a good nickname, but...
You're the Reverend.
That's true. I guess I am the Reverend. That's sweet. Oh, you gave me one. Yay. Toasty Baguette says, I'm a bit of a fanatic when it comes to video game-based toys. Oh. I used to play with Mario and Crash Bandicoot action figures when I was little, but I feel video game action figures aren't as common as they used to be.
Hmm.
If they were to come back, what are some video game characters you would like to see become action figures? Personally, I think Overwatch would make a great toy line with its large cast of characters.
Okay.
Thanks for everything you do, guys. Toasty. I like that. I like that question. I like what he said about Overwatch, that those characters seem almost made to be action.
Here's my thing is, do you agree that video game action, I guess action figures is the hang up, but I feel like there's more than ever there's video game stuff you can go buy, whether it be a Funko Pop, whether it be an 8-bit light, whether it be a statue, whether it be a t-shirt, whether it be a pencil case, whether, you know, I mean, like, video game crap is everywhere. I mean crap in a loving way.
There is a lot of video game crap, but I do think, I don't know if there's more or less. I do remember there were a lot of video game toys. If you'd walk into a Walmart or a Kmart when I was a kid or Toys R Us, they were everywhere.
Really?
Oh, there were lots of video game toys.
Like, what are you thinking of?
So I think just the number of like little Pac-Man or Qbert toys when I was younger and then Mario toys later on. And then
I remember it being a big deal for me personally. And I mean, I'm a dumb kid, so who knows? But when, and not even being a Mario fan, but like when McDonald's did the first wave of Mario Happy Meals, it was like, whoa, like that. that's awesome to see video games doing that. And I don't remember having, like, I know they exist, but when it was happening, I don't remember there being Sonic toys and that I was buying.
Man, I had, like, and again, I'm older than you, but I had Centipede board games and Zaxxon board games. And I mean, there was just so much arcade crap on the shelves for a while.
Sure.
And a lot of it was Donkey Kong stuff. But I don't know if there's more or less. I can tell you that when it comes to a good action figure, I tend to think in terms of something you would buy off the shelf at a Kmart for, you know, $10.99 and it would have. What I love about action figures are accessories. I mean, modes of articulation are really cool.
Yeah, but the items they come with?
Yeah, so I love Ninja Turtles action figures, like the old original series.
Oh, my God,
ones. Yeah. Usagi Yojimbo and all that. It's just amazing. You know, your Metalhead.
Wrath in the Trench Coat is like, yes.
Exactly. Yeah. And they always came with these huge racks of accessories.
Yeah.
Because of my love of accessories, I want Link. Because Link's arsenal of
weapons.
That
exists, though, right? Like, I mean, but you mean like a mass market, it's in Walmart?
Yeah, I want a mass market one. I want the boomerang. I want the bomb. I want the hook shot. I want the, you know, I want the sword.
Sure,
I want the regular sword, the white sword, and the master sword. I want, you know, all that together in a box. And I realize that's kind of, that's not all that creative. That goes back to the Smash Brothers metaphor. But I'd love a mass market version of that didn't feel like a specialty item. Because I'm a toy populist.
I understand. Now you're talking. Because like Square Enix, right? Like they publish games. I don't know why I said publish.
But they do publish games.
They also make action figures, right?
Yeah.
Where it's like you go to their store and they have crazy Batman ones and Tomb Raider, of course, and Final Fantasy and all these like things that have a million points of articulation. And I think they do a run of DC toys in general, like Superman and Wonder Woman and all that jazz. Could be wrong on that. Kindoffunny.com/wrong. But I'm thinking,
is there, you know, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Is there a podcast about toys called Points of Articulation?
I don't know.
There should be. Yeah.
That's the thing is I don't have that. I like the simplicity of a great statue. I like the simplicity of a great Funko Pop.
Ah, okay.
And I've passed on from where now I see even like I look over there, like I have, when McFarlane Toys was doing all the Skybound stuff, I was like, oh my God, do Lee and Clem from Walking Dead, do Invincible stuff. And they did it. And I have those and I leave them in the box, right? Because all respect to the toys, I'd much prefer an awesome Lee and Clem statue.
You
right?
A statue.
Porcelain.
Like, see, I'm not a statue porcelain. Guy. I do keep toys around the house and on shelves, but most of those are things that I have a story about.
Right.
All of mine are talismanic, and they're almost all have a story to them. But I understand the love of this. I'll see a good statue and be like, that's amazing.
Yeah. It's rare for me to actually go out and be like, I need this statue.
Now, this is a little divergent tangent here.
Oh, like that ever happens, that's kind of funny.
How are you not a Funko Pop yet?
Oh, we're not popular enough for that.
I really?
Yeah, no way. Like, I feel like this is similar to how people are like, why is Greg not on Hot Ones? And you go watch Hot Ones and like fucking Jordan Peele's on it. I'm like, well, he's at the Oscars. Like, they've surpassed us.
Like sooner or later you're going to be a Funko Pop.
Our best hope right now is that Lego thing.
Oh, I love that Lego
thing. Do you remember the person's name?
Yeah,
Joey,
no,
if you're listening, I forget the person's name. A best friend out there spent a lot of time making the entire Kinda Funny studio and every Kinda Funny cast member in Legos. And if he submits that to Lego Ideas and we get it to get 10,000 votes, then it's actually considered. And what I would tell him, right, is do this, put us all out there, but we do it as the Lego podcast set, not Lego Kinda Funny.
Yeah,
call it Lego podcast and sell Lego that way because everybody listens to the podcast.
Exactly.
So if you have this weird set, you move.
And what he did, it's not just like he made some abstract models. He built the whole thing in virtual Lego pieces, so this could all be built. And it's this set, but you can change everything out for every show, and it all fits together into like a storage area. That it's
awesome.
It's ridiculously well put together.
That was on the subreddit a while ago. I'm so sure somebody can put it back up. I've tweeted
about
it as well.
I love that thing. Yeah, that appeal to my vanity. That's always a good idea because I am vain.
What can I do to make myself look more popular?
Exactly. All right, what do we got here? We got a question from Pickle. Pickle says, good morning to you. I hope this day is treating you so well so far. Not so much a question, as I was waiting patiently for Mr. Petty to get back on the show so I could write in and say thank you for your blurb on spending money on high-quality mobile games. Yeah, again, like vanity. Like I said,
you gotta put the money where you want it to go.
Yeah, I'm a huge proponent of mobile games, says Pickle. There are so many great ones out there that people just stuff to the side because mobile games are for babies. That's an idea that seems to run rampant. Florence is a delightful 45-minute storytelling experience, and I've been playing a cute RPG called Attack the Light. Oh, yeah, Attack the Light. Recently, that is stellar. I recently bought Baldur's Gate for $2.49 on sale. I wish people would look at the platform more often. So thank you, Jerry, for spreading the good news. Do you like my pastor pun? You guys keep being awesome. Keep playing good games on whatever platform. makes you feel good. That's from Pickle.
It's a good one, Pickle.
It is a good one. And Steven Universe Attack the Light, he's not wrong. Even if you don't watch Steven Universe.
I don't know Steven Universe Attack the Light.
Attack the Light is a Steven Universe action RPG. It is very good. It is, you do not have to have watched the whole series to get what's going on. It takes off at about halfway through the series.
Okay.
But even if you don't like Steven Universe, it's a quality Mario RPG style.
Oh, okay.
I think it's $3 for the whole thing. You get the whole package, no in-app purchases, anything like that. No ads. It's just a solid RPG. It's fairly short, but what's there is really well put together. And it's one of those things you just be like, oh, if this were a game that had come out on PS4 and we'd made a thing of it, you'd be like, oh, what a cute little indie game. How well done. Or, you know, what a cute licensed game. It's one of the better licensed games I've played in a long time. So Attack the Light.
That's awesome. I love a good licensed game that you can appreciate even if you're not a fan of the source material.
Yep.
Yeah, I think like when Shantae dropped, right? You remember this?
Yeah, yeah.
And I played that in Vita. I was like, damn, this game's really good. And I didn't realize it was like a thing. Like it had a whole...
Shantae has a whole history.
It had its whole like, history and
one
everything
of the most expensive Game Boy Color cartridges of all time, my friend.
There you go.
That's right. Yeah, you want to get that Shantae cartridge. Yeah, Shantae's got a background. And don't confuse Attack the Light with the most recent Steven Universe game, which isn't quite as good, I've heard.
Can I confuse it with Attack the Block?
You could, okay, if you want. We should, because Attack the Block is awesome.
Just big fan. Sure.
Do you like Attack the Block?
I never watched it.
Oh, you should. You might like it.
Okay.
It's really well done. Great monsters on a low budget. Really well done.
Okay.
Yeah, the monsters are awesome. All right. So here's a question from Bryce A. Hello, Greg and guest. Love the show. Keep it up. I've recently found that I start a game and lose interest much quicker than I used to, and I'm unable to complete a game, even if I'm enjoying my time with it. Any advice?
Bryce, I don't have enough information on your predicament. What is distracting you from it? The problem is, and I'm sure you feel this, Jared, is that as nerds and geeks and dorks and human beings on this planet, there are too many avenues of entertainment now.
Yep.
Where it's like my Amazon queue is stacked with things. My Netflix queue is stacked with things. Krypton's tonight. I want to play Far Cry. God of War's coming up. Oh my gosh, there's a new Weezer album coming out. Oh, look, it's Wednesday. Yeah. New comics. Like, we're almost to Infinity War. Gotta watch. Like, there's so much driving you away that I think the best way to do it is be like, first off, you don't need to finish every game.
Nope.
If you're getting your enjoyment out of it and you've had your fill and your fun, like, you know, I don't know. You don't, I can't sit here and be like, if you didn't roll credits on Far Cry 5, you didn't play it. But if you played 35 hours and you only got through two of the sections, like, you know, Far Cry.
I never finish anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of like my mantra for life. And I think everything you just said there.
Wow. It's not even just games. You just don't finish anything.
No, I just don't finish anything.
Gotcha.
I really like what you said there, Greg. And I mean, this probably sounds, maybe it's time to play short games for a while.
Yeah, another thing too. Yeah, jumping into, I like, one of the things I enjoy about a Telltale episode or a Life is Strange episode is I'm like, cool, in an hour and a half to 2 hours, I'm done with this.
Yep.
And then I get to move on to the next thing and feel like I've accomplished something.
And there's a ton of that stuff out there right now.
Right, absolutely. Right.
And likewise, arcade style games, that you can just pick up and play like that for 10, 15 minutes.
And that's the whole thing with the games of service, right? Fortnite, yeah. All right, cool. Maybe the match will go for you 20 minutes. Maybe it's going to go five. Yeah. Maybe you'll just die immediately. Like, there's, you jump in, you do it, you move, and those games don't end, which is then always the comfort food to come back to, like me with Friday the 13th.
Yeah, the Arcade Archives added Moon Patrol, IREM's old arcade game, to Switch this week. And that's what I've been playing on the train.
Nice.
I want to play some Moon Patrol. It's fun. I love that game. It's a real good game.
With this extra time we have, I need to look at my Switch eShop. I haven't downloaded anything new in a while, I think. I gotta get loaded up for this flight.
You haven't played an Enchanted Mahjong match yet?
No.
Mahjong,
I do like Mahjong.
Yeah. Well, if you like Mahjong, it's actually a pretty competent Mahjong game.
And then
game.
I get to see a pretty lady if I clear the whole thing.
You do get to see a pretty lady if
all
you
right,
clear the whole thing.
Right.
That's true. Anyway. Moving on from that. I got distracted.
It happens.
Yeah, that's part of it. Question from River, who spells her name very interestingly.
Oh, yeah.
R-Y-V-R-E, but added a helpful pronunciation.
Thank you, River.
I'm not a game developer in any way, but I'm fascinated by game development and publishing and journalism. One of my favorite things about the current about the content you guys do, starting with the Beyond episode, the PSN came back. Okay. Starting with the Beyond episode, PSN came up on, I think is what they mean, is a genuine portrayal of real people in the video game industry. The next thing I want to do is get into the industry myself, but in an administrative capacity. Everyone needs to file paperwork and answer the phones, right? I've been keeping an eye on the websites of local Chicago companies, but want to know if there are any little known resources to find out what companies in the industry are hiring for these types of positions, or do I just have to dig deep in all the usual job marketplaces? Thanks for all that you do, and keep me entertained and informed throughout the week.
That's a great question.
Yes,
a lot of people do, of course, sleep on the fact of you want to be involved with video games, but you don't want to make video games. Well, there's no way for it. Administrative is such a huge part of anything.
Yes.
HR is such a huge part of any giant video game developer. Not even giant, any video game developer.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely outside of my traditional wheelhouse.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, yeah, you're in Chicago, so you're looking at NetherRealm, obviously. You're looking at stuff like that.
Yeah.
It would be to monitor those career sites, but dropping them a line and being like, hey, I'm a huge, I want to, my dreams work here. I'm passionate about video games. And I don't want to make them. Mm-hmm. I just want to help you do. I want to help. What I like about that kind of thing is like I want to help take the administrative bullshit out of your plate so you can focus on being creative. I don't think emailing people on LinkedIn that. I don't think tweeting somebody like that, hitting up. Like, and I'm sure there's smaller indie devs in Chicago you could hit up and do the same thing, who especially, with all due respect to them, don't maybe have the capacity, the knowledge, the bandwidth to do it. Because that's kind of funny's biggest problem, right? Is like, oh, okay, cool. Like, we jumped in, we want to make videos, and then there's like so much back end stuff that happened that, you know, like getting Joey on board, you know, originally is social media. Now she's just like coordinator of the entire place and does so much stuff outside of that that has nothing to do with it.
Joey controls our lives.
Exactly. No, yes. 100%. And like, it, she does so much of the stuff that we just don't have the time or the capacity to. Like, I'm so bad at that stuff.
We're very lucky she's smarter than we are.
100%.
Yeah.
It's scary.
It's extremely helpful having her
exactly
around.
So, yeah, I'd reach out to them through non-traditional means as well as traditional means.
Yeah, I think that's all good advice. I would look at a few places you may very well be aware of, but don't forget that Gamasutra has extensive listings for video game industry jobs of all kinds.
Okay.
And that's not a bad place to go look. I recommend you start following every developer, press person, and game studio in the universe on Twitter and setting up some kinds of alerts for jobs, because people love to post vacancies on Twitter for video game jobs. I'm not sure why that happens. I think it's a support network thing. But there, you will constantly find job listings dropped there, and that can lead you to other avenues. You do want to go to every studio's individual website and every publisher's individual website and dig through their stuff. Don't just rely on Indeed or something like that. Go to those sites and check them regularly. They're often very well sorted, and you're going to be able to find the kind of administrative work you're looking for there.
Real quick timeout. Cool, Greg, I hate to be this kind of guest, but could I get a glass of water for the dog? He really wants my water bottle, but that doesn't work that way.
Oh, yeah.
He's used to glasses where he can just drink right out.
He just wants to drink right out. I mean, you got him a coffee. It's coffee. I don't know if that's good for you, buddy.
It's definitely not good
for you. Not sure, yeah. I don't want you to drink anything that's not good for you, bud. You know, I'm very happy that there is a small mammal on this desk right now.
Take him to water, Joey. All
right. Thanks, Joey.
Thank you, Joey. See what I'm talking about?
Thanks a lot. Look at that. Yeah, again.
No, Joey here. That dog sits here. I think Cool Greg's putting ice in the dog's water. I just heard the ice machine go.
Well, it's warm.
Great. Hey, it is
warm right now.
It is very warm.
I think we got one final question to get to here.
You got it.
From Why Not Pete. The Switch tends to get the most titles lately, even new ones like Dragon Quest XI. Woo! That's me, not him. Coming west on PS4 this September, and the Switch version coming out, quote, much later, end quote.
That's not good news.
This begs the question. How do you determine whether or not to wait for the Switch version or just go ahead and play a game when it's released first? Is it about graphics, playing games you wouldn't otherwise play, being able to chip away at extremely long games? What criteria helps you decide your platform of choice in the age of the Switch? Thanks for answering the question. Happy Thursday to you both. I like that question.
It's a great question.
Yeah.
For me, I don't think there's much of a debate, and I've talked about it on the show before, where I feel my PlayStation 4 is where I'm playing the... in my Xbox One for like State of Decay, but my PlayStation 4 for being in the ecosystem I live in is the AAA stunning graphics. This is the amazing place. And my Switch is my Vita now, where it's like, well, it's my Nintendo machine for anything exclusive from Nintendo. But then it's also like, hey, here's this weird indie game. I don't know if I'm going to like it or not. I'm going to jump in and play it there, though, because it's always with me. And it's rare that I sit down at the TV and the PlayStation and I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to play. Let's click through all the millions of games and get taste. It's like, no, I'm in there to play Far Cry. Oh, shit, God of War is coming up. Oh, I mean, you know what? I don't feel like any of that right now. I'm going to do Fortnite. Like, there's already so much choice there that I just load the Switch up and then get in and bust stuff out there.
Yeah, for me, it's actually pretty similar. I love portable gaming.
Yeah,
I really too. Do, and I was you too. Okay,
yeah,
great.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, that from since Game Boy, and then being the PSP guy at IGN for so long,
makes perfect sense. Of course, so we're from similar backgrounds in that regard, and for me, it's a matter of do I want to be able to play this anywhere?
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Then I buy on Switch. No, then it's probably going on PlayStation.
Sure.
And that's how I approach it. I do play my Switch on my television quite a bit. But again, like you, mostly Nintendo exclusives. So I guess those are largely my criteria, and it's whether or not this is something I want to be able to play on the go, whether or not it's something, if I know I'm going to be waiting at the DMV for 2 hours,
yep.
You know, do I want this with me or not? Yep. So likewise, a lot of indie, a lot of arcade titles. I buy a lot of the Arcade Archive stuff and things like that. Nintendo first-party stuff I want to play on my TV. Anything I want to use, I like the Joy-Con.
Yeah.
And I like the PS4 controller as well, but I like the Joy-Con, and sometimes just be like, I think I'd rather play this on these.
Mm,
it really is title by title.
Sure. And that's the thing is I think it's case by case, title by title.
I also tend to buy multiplayer couch co-op or competitive games on Switch.
Sure.
Because it's somehow seems to be easier to get people. If you hand someone a PS4 controller,
oh, somebody
it'd be hard, but if you hand somebody a tiny little like Joy-Con,
yeah.
It is deliberately unintimidating.
I mean, not to mention the amount of times I've been out with my Switch and it's turned into that commercial where it's like, oh, cool. You want to pop off the Joy-Cons. Let's play Mario Kart right now.
Yeah.
And let's just screw around.
Let's Karen it all up right now.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's kind of great. I sit there with Angie and we bought the launch Street Fighter game, which is just a Street Fighter port mostly with some pretty graphics. But it does have the ability to go 2-on-1 versus the CPU. Have you ever played that mode?
No.
Yeah. It's just like it's three fighters in a Street Fighter game. You and another person share a life bar. Against the piece. It's really weird.
That's really cool.
Fine. We'll just play it together. So I hope that answers your question, Pete. I think all the answers are subjective, but for me, it's mostly about portability. Squad up!
Squad up!
From Oversplice, squad up. I'm a single father of two boys, and I work overnight, so I can't get out much. I only have 8 friends on PSN, none of which are active. I could use some kind of funny best friends to game with. If anybody would like to squad up with me on PlayStation, I've been playing Monster Hunter as of late.
Hell yeah!
Thanks for all you do at Kinda Funny. Once again, that's Oversplice. So, I guess that's
go get them. Squad up, play some games.
Yeah, that's right. One of them rotating segments.
So, now, Jared, you're in town.
I am in town.
You're here on the show.
I am here on the show.
Are you prepared to get salty? Because that was a long time ago. Something got submitted.
My friend, I am prepared to get salty. We got this here email from Ryan T. from Tennessee. I'm sorry I let it lapse for a week, but it's Thursday. And as you know, Jared Petty, he says, I'm an incredible treasure, and I'm on a diet. So we need to make sure you get sodium to stay healthy. So it's time to get salty. Greg, you ready to time me?
Yep. You get 60 seconds, right?
Yep.
All right. And go.
Let the 3DS die with dignity, my friends. I'm salty about this. Look, I want to play everything on Switch too, but you know what? I've griped about this on the show before, but to nail it home, it's a freaking handheld. You plug it into the wall and it's ready to go. So stop griping when you get games on 3DS. Just pick the thing up and play them. It's just as portable as the Switch. You already own it because they produced 700 billion of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're cheap as dirt. You can buy a 2DS for $1.95 on eBay. Just
really?
Not really, but you can buy it for almost. I mean, they're really
cheap. My apologies, sorry.
Look, it's a fine platform. I understand wanting everything but consolidated, but seriously, come on. It's not like you're leaving it plugged into those precious HDMI slots or taking space under your TV. Yes, it's on its last legs, but you know what? Everybody here played Vita for years, and we all loved it.
We still play Vita.
So play some 3DS and stop complaining about the fact that sometimes you get good games on it. Remember when Nintendo wasn't giving us games? Well, now they are. So let's play them wherever they are.
You don't need it.
There's my salt.
There you go. I'm glad you got your salt out.
I got my salt out right there.
I should have
let you do that since you were
there. No, it's still your segment. Don't worry about that.
All right. Should have let that happen there. I don't know. You were about to ask me something.
I was going to ask if you're ready for your wrong.
I'm not ready for your wrong, but I believe you're ready for your wrong.
I'm very much ready for your wrong.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, people of all ages, types, sizes, at all, etc. What did we get wrong?
Remember, if you're watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, you can go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up. So we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe. George writes in to correct Kevin and says, bespoke means designed/made for a specific requirement rather than a general one.
Ah.
Another Royal Blue wrote in and said, means custom made. Yeah. Okay. Editorializing and stuff going on there. Lord of Pwn says No Man's Sky was first revealed at the VGX Awards in 2013, not at E3.
There we go.
Capitalist Pig says No Man's Sky launched at $60. I was wondering what it is now, though, if it still is.
I cannot fathom a world where No Man's Sky is still
$60. No, yeah, yeah. Kebab says, Jared, one of the updates to the game, to No Man's Sky, improve fighter combat to make it easier.
Yay.
It can still be testing, but it no longer seems like a lost cause.
Testing's fine. I want it to be hard. I just don't want to die every hour or so when I take off. Waterman, and I feel like I have nothing to do with it.
Waterman Chafing says, No Man's Sky has had a creative mode that allows you to explore the universe at your leisure and allows you to build as much as you want.
Yeah.
So you can boot it up today and not be attacked by anybody.
Yep.
That's
real cool.
Yeah. Oh, I don't, no, no, I think this is right. Yeah, no. So, Gamer says, just missing important news of the day, the release date for Dragon Quest 11. No, we talked about that yesterday.
I thought that was yesterday.
You need to listen to us more in a more timely fashion.
Unless they've added something new that I missed.
Charles Jacobson says, some info on THQ Nordic. One day I was wondering about their finances, as I never really heard of most of their titles. But their earnings, before interest tax, keeps improving. It's about 40% to 50%, and then it got cut off, so I don't know what he's saying there. Huh. In 2015 is about roughly 20, based on comments from THQ Nordic in interviews, it seems like they are good at keeping development costs significantly lower than others, leading to their projects quickly breaking even.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Additionally, even if they do, it's worth noting, if they do run into delays, they are brief and stick to budget deadlines very well. In short, their workflow sounds like the opposite of Square Enix's. Good.
Control that budget.
Pat Black WV confirms, yes, Square Enix does make DC action figures. Greg, Kebabs, writes in all the time.
Yeah.
Well, Capitalist Pig wrote in to say Kebabs is the one who made the Lego stuff we're all talking about.
Okay, thanks.
So much.
Thanks,
thank
Capitalist
you, Kebabs. We love you so much. Somebody else. Oh no, still Gamer trying to get this Dragon Quest stuff in there. Motherfucker, go watch yesterday's show. Then break your dick off.
Whoa!
It's in a term of endearment. It's a term of
endearment.
You
don't want to be cruel to the gamer.
It's just in a term of endearment. And then Ryan T says, Jared, the 3DS is actually hard to find in my area. Few stores have them in stock and usually are full price and limited editions. And he's, we know they're not. You know, I agree with you. Fuck the 3DS. It's over. Stop making 3DS games.
I think it's over. I just have no... I don't understand the weird, vehemence whenever something's announced.
I don't want to carry two 3DS. I don't want to carry 3DS and a Switch. That's the vehemence.
It weighs an ounce. It's
I got iPads in there, and computers in there, man, and Switches just, in there, and Vita's in there. Sometimes a game screen with my PlayStation 4.
Have you... I tend to overpack for trips. Do you overpack for trips and the game stuff?
Yeah.
I flew to Sweden
once
last year.
I do it every time. Where I've had required reading for Greg's comic book club in there. I've had the iPad, and I've had the Switch or Vita in there for the last three trips.
Yeah.
And I've played a combined total of an hour of games.
I've had trips, and I'm not exaggerating here, where I've packed the Switch, the 3DS, the 2DS, my DS Lite, my Game Boy Micro, my PSP, my Vita, my iPad, and my phone to play games on, just in case I run out of battery power.
Yeah, I've been there.
Yeah, you gotta love that.
And most of the time I get on there and the plane just puts me to sleep immediately.
Yeah, I can't sleep on a plane, so that's great.
I couldn't for the longest time, and now that I can't not.
Where
you get on there and just the engine noise just puts me at night.
I would love to. After the, this is kind of grim, but right after the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear disaster was when Angie and I, that was when we were coming home from Japan. It was right at that period of time. And I had been awake for well over a day, maybe two, at the point I got on the plane. It was a 14-hour flight from Narita to Chicago. And even after having been awake that long, I didn't sleep a wink.
Wow, that sucks.
Yeah, it's really, really awful. So, thank you for joining us for Kinda Funny Games Daily on this fine Thursday. Tomorrow, we will return. If the Earth exists, we will be here.
Internet's on. If
that's
Comcast
true.
Doesn't
well, the internet's internet. Off. The Earth's probably gone, too.
Well, well not in this
building.
Comcast,
that's a good point.
No. With Comcast,
building. That's
that
true.
Is
that's
not
a good
correct.
Point. Yep. Tomorrow, join me and the Rogue One, Gary Whitta. I'll be hosting again tomorrow, unless Gary wrestles me to the ground and takes my power.
He's just going
to
bitch about Superman.
He might do that. So join us tomorrow. It will indeed be a good Friday. That is my hope. That's
good.
Right.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. That's
right. Look at that. It's kind of crazy. You got any Easter plans?
No, I don't know when it is.
No? Sunday.
Oh, this Sunday?
This Sunday is Easter.
I'm probably going to be playing games in my pajamas with Pertil.
Yeah? You're doing that? All right, that's some good stuff right there. I'm going to go see some friends. Going to be a good day.
Oh, nice.
Easter's a nice day for me. I like Easter. It's a day of celebration. I like it. Yeah, good stuff. So, headed off for Easter, whatever you may be doing, hanging out with friends or just sitting around playing some video games, going to work, whatever it may be. I hope you make Kinda Funny Games Daily, Kinda Funny Games Cast, the morning show, and everything else we do here a part of your life. We sure do appreciate the fact that you allow us to do what we love for a living every day. And until next time, my friend, shake on it.
Yeah.